Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethea, and today's date is October 27th in the year of 2021. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for the show. If there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as an economic blueprint for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation, design, workforce development, companies, EV factoring, and EV charging companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also, to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at Positive Change, PositiveChange, P as in Paul, C as in Cat.com. That's PositiveChangePC.com. Scroll over to our GoFundMe link, click on that link, and you will find information concerning this exciting platform that we bring to you every week over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And as I've indicated to you, we will have our YouTube TV broadcast up on this platform in a very, very shortly. Also, this show is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation. As I indicated, BCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, once again, and the National Association of Blacks and Solar. And you can get more information on that 501c3 organization by logging on to Blacks in Solar, BlacksInSolar.org. And you will find information concerning the National Association of Blacks in Solar, which yours truly serves as the sitting president of that organization. And we are working on initiatives to try to combat and educate our communities about the disparities in the renewable energy sector. And ladies and gentlemen, the call-in number for the show, if you join us, is 646-668-2948. That call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, we don't have any scheduled guests for today, but we, as we normally do, we take the time and we try to bring you news that you can definitely use. So we're looking at the Sustainable DC newsletter, which is put out by the Department of Energy and Environment here in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And looking at that article, it's very, very interesting. We are going to sort of go right into the last statement I made, which sort of brings, as we say, brings us into our day of discussion. Under this newsletter, which you'll be able to get more information once again by logging on to PositiveChangePC.com. Please stroll over to our News and Events tab and click on that link. It'll bring you right into Sustainable DC newsletter, which is put out by staff members at the Department of Energy and Environment here in Washington, D.C. This is their November 2021 newsletter. Over the past few months, millions of U.S. workers have left or changed jobs. With such big shifts in the workforce, it is important that time to consider which industries will have the greatest opportunities in the coming decade and the types of skills that will be required. The number of clean energy jobs in the U.S. has grown since 2015, with approximately 3 million Americans currently working in the energy efficiency, renewable energy, grid modernization, and clean vehicle manufacturing, despite a downturn in 2020. The clean energy sector has great potential to continue expanding, the greatest news for job seekers, as the median hour wage for clean energy jobs is about 25% higher than any nationwide median hourly wage. Yet the green economy includes, with more than clean energy jobs, farmers, upcycles, green infrastructure installers, and maintainers are all part of the industry that improve livability and protect resources. The Sustainable 2.0 plan, which is a plan which has been implemented by the Department of Energy and Environment in Washington, D.C. This particular plan gathered a lot of data and surveys and input from the community of Washington, D.C., from all 8 wards of our nation's capital. It includes many actions to foster a thriving green economy right here in the District of Columbia. Whether in school, starting a new business, looking to integrate green practices for existing businesses, or wanting to develop new skills, there are several programs to help these district residents take advantage of the green economy benefits. The Green Zone Environmental Program and the Green Fellows Leadership and Development Program allow students and young adults to gain knowledge and experience about energy and environmental fields. The Department of Small and Local Business Development has several green business initiatives the Sustainable Energy Infrastructure Capacity Building and Pipeline Program, in partnering with DC Sustainable Energy Utility, DCSEU, to build the capacity on energy topics and to aspire to entrepreneurship and for dream grants that have been awarded to urban farmers and contractors reducing stormwater pollution. In addition, the Department of Energy and Environment, DOEE, and the Department of Employment Services launched SolarWorks DC, a job training program to be run by Grid Alternatives Mid-Atlantic to equip district residents to skills to install solar panels for low-income houses. Through programs such as these, residents gain a skill and support necessary to flourish in the growing local green economy. Now, this is this press release and statement that has been put out in the newsletter under opportunities. But we're going to sort of delve into looking into this in much more detail as we look and go back up to clean energy jobs in the U.S. has grown since 2015. Now, you'll find there's a blue link there, which is a live link. Once you click on that link, it will take you into another article, which we will be looking at this particular article, which was basically published in April of this year. And I was looking for the author of this article, and it was published in E2, Business Leaders for Better Environment, Strong Economy, which is a nonprofit organization. And you can go to there and you'll look at the number of chapters they have. E2 has nine chapters, giving members the opportunity to engage in state and regional policy efforts, network with other like-minded business people at regular chapters and events, and direct with others. Now, they have nine chapters. They're basically located three in California. I see that there looks like there's one in Kansas, one in North Carolina, one in the state of Maryland, one in upper New York State, and one in Maine. Their mission is a national nonpartisan group of business leaders, investors, and others who advocate for smart policies that are good for the economy and good for the environment. E2, a good economy and good environment should be good for all. For that reason, E2 supports policies and advanced diversity and equity that ensures benefits for clean economy, jobs, saving opportunities, health extended to all communities, environmental justice, considering. Now, a number of this, all this information you will be able to find, as I indicated, on the website. Now, as we go back and we look at the article that talks about the growth of green, unparalleled growth in the renewable energy sector. After a hard year, promise of unparalleled jobs growth. In 2020, the number of clean energy jobs in America fell for the first time since E2 began tracking nationwide employment across the entire clean energy sector in 2015. Amid the COVID pandemic and related economic contractions and the lingering impacts of policies from previous administrations that encouraged fossil fuels over clean energy, nearly 370,000 jobs were lost in the wind, solar, efficiency, and other clean energy sectors. These are jobs, ladies and gentlemen, that were lost during COVID-45's administration, and he created this climate. We know him as Donald Trump. Okay? About 3 million Americans worked in the clean energy at the end of 2020. Now, this telecast, and it's called Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. So we have to take the time to look at what does this mean to the African-American community. And as you will find that in that there are many disparities in this industry. And as the second largest minority population base in this country, which we are now because of the Hispanic population, because of immigration and the natural migration from Central America and the Caribbean nations, has surpassed our population numbers. We as African Americans are the second largest minority, but we are at disproportionately at the very bottom in terms of numbers as it relates to population segment when we look at the 2020 census data. African Americans, we're supposed to comprise about 8.1% of the solar industry specifically, and the his community composes about 16% of the industry. The rest of the industry numbers are very, very, very small. Asian Americans, Native Americans, Pacific Islanders, those specific percentages are very, very low. But we will take an in-depth look at that data here on the platform of Solar Now in the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. As we take a slight pause for the cause here as we open. There.
Someone singing, I can tell, sing it. Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know I'm your host, Ronald Buffet. And you know that call-in number for the show is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, as we were indicating right before we took a short water break here so we can speak to you in a clearer voice there, with a much clearer voice, about 3 million Americans working in the clean energy industry at the end of 2020, down from 3.36 million the year before, according to an analysis of the Bureau of Labor Statistics data. In finding of a national survey of more than 30,000 businesses across the U.S. economy, jobs in the energy efficiency, biggest part of the U.S. energy sector, took the biggest tumble, falling from 11% last year as the COVID pandemic restriction prevented emergency workers from entering commercial and residential buildings. When energy employment increased slightly, while solar employment fell, driven by declines in residential solar sales and installations, which were hit hard early in the pandemic and could not fully recover despite this second part of the year. Overall, renewable energy jobs fell nearly 6%. Jobs in the grid modernization, battery, and storage occupations dropped nearly 7% after 2 years of rapid growth driven by growing demands in batteries and electric vehicles and commercial and residential energy storage. Clean vehicle manufacturing jobs define the overall energy sector's job loss patterns and grew nearly 3% as automobile makers increasingly shifted to cleaner and more efficient electric cars, truck buses, and electric hybrid vehicles. Vehicle employment grew more than 6%, adding more than 12,000 new jobs in 2020, the biggest increase of the clean energy category. Despite the overall decline, energy remains the biggest job creator across America. Energy sector employing nearly three times as many world workers as the fossil fuels extraction generation. More Americans still work in the clean energy than work in middle and elementary school teachers, bankers, farmers, real estate agents, median hourly wages for clean energy jobs are about 25% higher than the national median wage, and also pays better than fossil fuel extraction jobs. You can see the clean energy wage and making good jobs events sidebar page. Now you'll find that it will be located on page five. Jobs in the clean energy sector. Now, this is what the whole argument has been with the increase in job creation, even though renewable energy, renewables only contribute to about 3% of the national, let me repeat, the national market share in the utility sector. And we're getting tremendous pushback from the fossil fuel lobbyists, from the gas and oil sector. Now, as we look at despite the overall decline, clean energy remains the biggest job creator across the American sector, employing three times as many workers, as it went on to say. California, Texas, New York, Florida remain the national leaders for clean energy jobs, but smaller states such as Illinois, Massachusetts, Michigan, Ohio all employ more than 100,000 clean energy workers each at the end of last year. Now, this is very important, ladies and gentlemen. When we begin to look at the full report, you can download this energy. 2021 clean energy employment top lines. Total clean energy jobs was 3,048,603. Renewable energy jobs was 492,891. Grid storage was 137,870. Energy efficiency was 2,107,174. Clean fuel jobs was 37,036. Clean vehicles, 273,630. Looking for more information, this is the 6th annual Clean Energy Americas report produced by E2 based on analysis from the USEER, which was the first released by Department of Energy in 2016. E2 was the original proponent of DOE producing the USEER and was a partner on the reports produced by the Energy Futures Initiatives, the National Association of State Energy Officials, NASECO, NASCO, after the Trump administration abandoned it in 2017. Now, the Solar Industry Trade Association, SEIA, and the Solar Industry, I'll think of the other organization in one time, but in 1 minute, but they have put out another report that breaks more details in terms of the ethnicity and the number of jobs. Now, when we look across these companies, out of all these numbers, the African-American community, we have no more than 30 African-American solar installation design workforce EV charging companies throughout this entire sector. Less than 30 companies, ladies and gentlemen. In this sector, the National Association of Blacks and Solar, we have worked tirelessly for the last several years in trying to bring this issue to the forefront, as if we look at our historically black colleges and universities, we have very, very few junior colleges. Now we look, and the Biden administration has pitted the funding resources at HBCUs with Hispanic historically colleges and universities targeted and designed for Hispanic colleges and universities. In the same pool, we have to now, our institutions have to compete. Now, we don't have the two-year schools who are our junior colleges, which are more suited for these certifications. You don't need a four-year to get certified in these very important areas. We need right now to be looking at developing more electrical mechanical technicians. And what the electrical mechanical technicians are people who are trained with two certifications. One would be as a TV installer. One might be as an energy auditor. But you're also certified as an electrician to do what? To be able to meet the demand for EV charging infrastructure wiring for residential and commercial buildings and businesses. We need thousands of trained electricians to meet this EV electric vehicle infrastructure charging demands for putting in EV chargers on our highways and byways nationally, as well as the charging infrastructure in our municipalities, which have large population bases. These are challenges that cannot be met if the current infrastructure bill does not put forth the necessary funding to cover this training for the African American community. There's a reason, and it's not a season, why we are doubling down on these issues, because we realize that the only folks gonna save us is us. And when we begin to look at the entire spectrum of workforce development training programs out here, they are slim and none as relates to the African American community. We had the privilege of speaking to Global Apprenticeships, which is a group, African American based group out of Atlanta, Georgia. And we're looking at that market as relates to them having a contract with the Department of Labor to compensate African-American-based solar installation and design firms to train our young African-American youth in becoming PV installers, that's solar panel installers. But we also need this cross-certification, and those young people should be trained in both PV panel installation as well as electrician certifications, because they're both needed. Now, when we look at all of these issues, then we look at the supply chain issue as relates to the logistics, and we know that that's in the news every day. They're talking about the ports with all of the Chinese manufacturing plants that were closed because of the pandemic. Now they have reopened. So we have now thousands and thousands of containers sitting on ships in the LA port. The state of Maryland is pushing to get more of those ships to come into Baltimore port. The state of Florida is pushing to get more of these ships to come into their ports so we can get these things unloaded. Because the one issue that this country has, it has made a crucial mistake of not building the manufacturing facilities of semi-electrical conductors, which is causing havoc throughout all of these industries, because you cannot manufacture a car. You cannot put a PV system on a roof or a commercial building for solar without those semi-electric conductors. We are at the mercy of Indonesia and China right now. And this is real talk, but it impacts on the creation of more job opportunities and growth in these industries and growth for our African-American-based firms that are struggling right now because they are not at scale with these larger white, large solar installation firms. These are issues that aren't being discussed, and you'll find that they're not going to be discussed in nowhere else but on this platform, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at take a slight pause for the cause, and we're going to bring it back close to home, and we're going to look at the minimum hourly wages in this sector when we begin to look at data put out by the E2 group after hard years of promise and unparalleled job growth. And it looked at, this is the same particular article, but there's another link that will provide you with the hourly rates. We're going to look at the DC 2.0 sustainable plan that was put out through the Department of Energy and Environment as we return closer to home. But as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, this is just the District of Columbia, the DMV market area, because they are in what is called the PJM market region as it relates to the utility regulation through the Federal Regulatory Commission. This area is called the PJM, which is a deregulated market. That means people have gone to hearings and they fought like hell to get competition in the marketplace to allow renewables to grow. Regulated markets where the largest percentage of the African American population is based, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. These are regulated markets. That means that the utility controls a legal monopoly, which was granted by Congress, which gives the utility company the right to control the generation of energy, the transmission of energy, the pricing of energy in those market demographics, and access to the grid, and how much green credits our energy can be produced in those market areas and be put up on the grid. And unless a developer is going to do a project where the term is called behind the meter, where that energy is not going to be connected to the grid, it's going to be used for manufacturing purposes, or it's going to be used to power a college or university or a large commercial industrial park, that's where you are. As a developer, you can't identify off-takers such as a Microsoft or Amazon that may have a large plant who might pay you 8 or 9 cents per kilowatt hour. You got to go behind the meter, and the utility in those market regulated markets, which only going to pay you 2 to 3 cents if you can get that, which is not enough money to make a large power plant, megawatt size plant, 20, 50, 100 megawatt farm, even profitable. So you can't even develop these projects in those market demographics that are controlled by the Duke Energies, the Old Dominions, the MISO region, when you get into deep south. This has to be cleared through the local public service commissions and your regulators and the gunslingers who are called the lobbyists for the large-scale utility companies. It's not that These large-scale utility companies are so necessary anti-renewable energy because they can't compete with the sun because it's free. But they can regulate how much of that energy can be produced and uplinked and come through the grid, which you and me and yours truly, the people, we pay for in transfer fees on our local utility bills. Because Congress has provided and given these companies a legal monopoly. This is what the game is. Now, as we indicated earlier, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at autonomy of the District of Columbia, and we're going to sort of drill down on this 2.0 program. But first, before we do that, as we always do, we're going to take another slight pause for the cause here at Solar Now. And
someone singing, why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan, change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, we were talking about the 2.0 plan here in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, the District of Columbia. And as we were expressing, there were opportunities being made available. The district is the economic engine for the Washington metropolitan region and a national center for economic importance. However, to remain strong, the district needs to keep its growth rate high and to continue diversity in its economy to reduce its reliance on federal government. Unemployment rates are unequal across the city. Recent analysis show that unemployment rate for Black residents is 12.9%, more than 8 times higher than unemployment rate for white residents, which is 1.5. The district economic plan, the D.C. Economic Development Strategy, has two goals. One, to grow a vibrant and resilient economy driven by private sector expansion. Number two, to foster economic prosperity for all district residents by increasing job opportunities and decreasing employment disparities. The economy section of the Sustainable 2.0 mirrors the goals with the added of sustainability, focusing on sustainable related goods and services, will grow the economy and create new jobs, both in the district and will help grow the economy and create new jobs, both the district and for the region, regionally. For example, in 2016, U.S. job opportunities in the solar industry increased by 25%, and the number of people working in the wind industry increased 32%. to prepare residents, especially unemployed residents, to work in the green economy. Training programs with wraparound services are necessary. The district has several successful existing models of green job training programs, including SolarWorks DC, which includes 12 weeks of hands-on training in solar energy, and DC Infrastructure Academy, which results in screens and trains residents for jobs in high-growth infrastructure fields. The Department of Energy and Environment runs several green employment initiatives, including the Green Zone Environmental Program, which teaches young adults about energy and environmental issues and provides work experience through projects such as installing solar, building rain gardens, and installing storm drain markers. Sustainable 2.0 action of the economy has real benefits for DC and at all levels. Individual green jobs can pay well. Median hourly solar installers increase to $26 an hour, which equals $54,000 annually for a full-time job. Neighborhood, the green economy also helps businesses save money by being more sustainable. The district government offers innovation financing and generous financial incentives to help small businesses use less energy, install solar panels and green roofs, while other financing programs help businesses of any size tackle the cost of installing energy efficiency measures. The district highest unemployment rate in the districts were in Ward 7 and May among black residents without bachelor's degrees. To help address the disparity in the Sustainable 2.0 plan, recommendations providing efficient green job training, smart green job training programs are an important part of the solution. Sustainable DC economy goals are twofold. Grow a diversified district economy focusing on sustainability, climate, and resilient industries. Train district residents to be competitive for livable wage jobs. Growing industries such as sustainability, environment, and self-reliance. There's more. The economy job goals are connected to build the environment, food, transportation, waste, and climate. Read more of the entire economy sector below. Now, there's a link there, ladies and gentlemen, where you can get more information about this 2.0 program, which is put out by DOEE, which is Department of Energy and Environment, is headed by Director Tommy Wells. We used to be able to sort of communicate with folks over there at DOEE, but as our platform has grown and I think they've spent a few dollars in advertising on Black Talk Radio as this platform, and me as president of the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative went down in front of the D.C. Council and raised holy hell about the lack of advertising dollars on putting this information out about these various programs. They began to advertise with Radio One or the Urban One Network, which is owned by Dr. Kathy Hughes. We know it as 1450 AM, WOL 14 AM, and 95.9 FM on your radio dial, which we have been working for several years to try to get this platform to buy time for syndication of this platform to talk about these issues. Because nobody drills down on these issues every week and try to bring you news that you definitely can use around these issues, but this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. Now, if you'd like to join us, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please take time to join us here on the platform of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America, as we have drilled down on these particular issues. Now, we're around 11:53, so we're going to take a switch gears, and we're going to look at two competitions open now for solar forecasters and new solar industry startup, an announcement which has been put out by the Department of Energy and Environment, Department of Energy through the Solar Industry Technology Office. And this particular article is authored by staff members over at DOE. Today, the U.S. Department of Energy officially launched the Solar Forecasting Prize, which aims to incentivize initiatives to develop tools that predict how much energy solar power plants will generate so the grid operators can plan for the and manage. Up to five winners will receive a $50,000 in cash, and above five runners-up will receive $25,000 in cash. Read the official rules. The deadline for this competition is December 15, 2021. The deadline for this competition, once again, is December 15, 2021. You can also join us for an informal webinar for a solar forecasting prize on November 8th. 12 noon at 1 p.m. to review the structure and rules for the new competition. Solar and Cybersecurity Summit, November the 3rd, from noon to 4:30. This summit will be put on by the Department of Energy. Solar Industry Trade Association will host Cybersecurity Summit, Securing Our Future Today, discussing lessons learned by cyber attacks, best practices and trends, and key to securing solar energy and storage on the grid. Now, as we said, we're talking about solar company startups and first prize finalists. Startups has its first finalists, the new startups Beyond the Silicon from Chamber, Arizona, won $200,000 of its solar company startup in Silicon Tentacles Cell Innovation. It's plans to bring it closer to the market. Do you have a new solar company that you're starting up, and you have, if you look how to improve the efficiency of solar panels, innovation, and business plan, the next application period for competition will open now, with up to 200,000 cash prizes will be available. You can apply by January 4th of 2022. Learn more about the prize and follow up the challenges and updates. That is the announcement put out by your department, U.S. Department of Energy, and it comes out of the, what we call, referred to as Solar Energy Office for Renewable Energy. Solar Energy, as we refer to as set to, and you'll find that information on our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. Click on our news and events tab, scroll down, and you'll click on that link, and you'll be able to get to that information. Because we are getting at the close of our show, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep rolling as we're trying to bring more information. What we try to do is pack as much what we call news that you can use into the show. There's a link called the Montgomery County Green Bank Green Notes October 21. And I just had Tom Dayu, who is the director of the Green Bank of Montgomery County, on our web, on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. You will find a link there and you can click on that link, and it will open up. It'll talk about Montgomery County Green Bank, and it will highlight, take a look at the Green Bank of 2021, Energy Awareness Month 2021, November Board of Directors Meeting, Connecting with Partners, Recent Networking Events. Green Bank hosts Virtual Contractors Breakfast Series. Green Bank hosts C&I Meeting with the United Therapeutics, spreading awareness throughout media channels, new interviews on Blog Talk, podcasts, new interviews with a podcast, and you'll be able to click on that particular link, and it'll open right up for you, and we will be concluding our show here for another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So as we close, we always like to take time to let you know that, do you know who brings you this show every week? This week, this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which serves as a blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation and design, workforce development, EV charging companies, EV manufacturers, to address the high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity initiatives to bring down the under and unemployment of young African American locally and nationally, also to educate the African American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African American through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You know, the show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation via HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you're listening to that initiative over the World Wide Web, over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and Link. It's also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and you can get more information on the National Association, NAFS, by logging on to blacksinsolar.org. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that we brought you news that you can definitely use here on this platform as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And as we say, go in peace. Don't meet us here. Beat us back here as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you?